Everybody talks about the bridge over troubled waters. And that's good. But sometimes the bridge isn't made of wood. Sometimes it's made of frosted shredded wheats or miniature churros. And sometimes the troubled water is just milk. And sometimes metaphors collapse right underneath your feet. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Goubert, and I am a walking cereal almanac of sorts.
We are going to take the next few minutes, and we're going to focus them on cereal. And we would kindly invite you to do the same. You can just relax and think of nothing but cereal. We hope that provides you some respite. Hope it provides us some respite. You know, it's a circle of giving we have here. We're going to talk about news. We're going to review some new cereals, and we're just going to think about cereal for a little bit. Let's all give ourselves permission to do that. And Dan, I couldn't be more excited about this first news. One of our big Grand Slam cereals from 2020 is getting a spiritual successor.
So we all remember Oatmeal Cream Pie cereal, the collaboration between Kellogg's and Little Debbie that was first announced last September and eventually hit stores right around December, I believe. And all the fanfare has been shared for OCP cereal. I believe it was in my top five of 2020. It might have missed the mark a little bit in terms of authenticity, in terms of accurate depiction of everyone's favorite Little Debbie snack cake. But what a lot of people might not remember is that when the news first leaked about Oatmeal Cream Pie cereal, it came through this video that someone posted of them doing a live taste test of this OCP cereal, and they had the full box of it and everything, and you could definitely tell that this was a legit cereal. And they also had with them this blank box that they claimed contained a cosmic brownie cereal. They showed it as well. They poured it into a bowl, but no one really knew for certain whether this was official as compared to the very real-looking OCP cereal. And when the news officially broke from Kellogg's, I reached out to them and asked them if there would be a cosmic brownie cereal as well. And they told me that it wasn't releasing at this time. So back then, it kind of made me think that it was a concept that got scrapped, and it didn't really follow through, but now that I listen back and read those words again, I can tell that that was just sort of a roundabout PR way of saying that, yes, there's a Cosmic Brownie cereal, but they weren't allowed to talk about it at the time. So it's really, really good news to hear now that it has been officially announced that a Cosmic Brownie cereal from Little Debbie and Kellogg's is dropping this May. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see the box art for this.
But so colorful.
It's so beautiful. It reminds me of like the backdrop in a Super Monkey Ball game. It's all sunshine, happiness, and rainbows. And I think they actually, the concept version that we were showing in the video didn't have sprinkles, and now there's actual rainbow sprinkles on it. So I'm very, very excited about this concept. I think that Cosmic Brownies were the Little Debbie snack cake that I probably grew up on the most. It was definitely a cafeteria lunchroom staple that had a very, very high trade value. I believe I could get a whole Bosco breadstick by trading one of those back in the day, which is a very, very high value transaction. But with such high expectations comes great pressure to make it into a great cereal. And I, for one, tend to err on the side of caution with things like this, just because when you think of a Cosmic Brownie cereal, there's a lot of fudginess to the Cosmic Brownie itself.
It's dense.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very dense and moist, and the sprinkles are very, very hearty, and they're almost like nerds to the point of how much they crunch, and I just feel that might be a little bit hard to represent in a cereal form. I'm really hoping we get a bit of that second crunch, which is a concept I believe you talked about with the Crayola cereal last time.
Yes, the second crunch.
So it really remains to be seen whether these will be closer to the Cocoa Puffs brownie crunch that General Mills did, which basically just tasted exactly like Cocoa Puffs and wasn't really that impressive. Or I could also see these pieces kind of look like the puffed square pieces from Kellogg's S'mores cereal. And, if they can bring it closer to that type of texture, which is a bit fluffier and more powdery, this could actually be a hit.
I'll be interested to see also the scale. That's really hard to judge from the picture they've shared. Like, these look like two to a spoonful to me. And I think we've both struggled with that kind of proportion. One thing I do enjoy about this JPEG that you have here on seriously.net is that at the bottom of it, it says sample, not intended for sale. And that is on a mock-up box. So I will honor their wishes and not attempt to sell this JPEG to anybody.
Yeah, I think that probably just cues in that this is not final box art, which I almost kind of hope that it is because it looks really, really good.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
I think what I was going to say in terms of like the piece size, I almost think it would be cool to get like, you know how sometimes when you're eating frosted mini wheats and there are two of them stuck together?
Yeah.
If they could try to do that with every single piece, that would probably be like the most authentic way to go about it just because, you know, the real thing is like has that perforation in between.
Yeah. So we heard some rumors of a Ghostbusters cereal, but it sounds like it's maybe a bit more official.
Yeah, so this Ghostbusters cereal, we first heard about it, much like Cosmic Brownie cereal, we didn't get a look at the box art or anything about it. It was kind of sandwiched in between news of the legendary Monster Mash cereal that we talked about a few episodes back, as well as a new upcoming Cheerios Oat Crunch almond flavor. Just because licensed cereals don't tend to excite me that much, I didn't really put much stock into what a Ghostbusters cereal could look like. It's also unclear when exactly it's dropping. I know the movie, the new Ghostbusters Afterlife movie, has been delayed several times and is supposed to be coming out this November, I believe. So you can expect the cereal probably in a few months. But we do finally...
Hopefully before it gets stale, the movie will be out.
Yeah. But we do look at it here, and I know I hyped it up a lot in what I've been sort of monologuing here for the past minute, but it also doesn't look all that great. I mean, the box looks pretty good.
It looks kind of
bad. Yeah, it's like a really, really stark...
Yeah, but the cereal looks ghost boring. it's like some Pink Puffs with green and white marshmallows.
Yeah, like the Slimer marshmallows and like ghost marshmallows. I just think with the Ghostbusters universe, obviously they can't do like a Twinkies cereal because that's already existed from a different cereal company. But the least they could give us, I feel, would be like a high-C Ecto Cooler cereal, just because I will take any opportunity to argue for more orange flavor in the breakfast aisle.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all know about Wheaties, but Dan, are you here to tell me that there are now Supreme Wheaties?
Supreme Wheaties. Unfortunately, it's not a sort of better form of Wheaties. It is instead a collaboration between Wheaties and streetwear brand Supreme, which you might know from being a brand that just basically puts their red box logo on shirts and then upcharges for like a lot more money. So this is a really weird bit of cereal news just because this idea of like hype beast collaborations between cereal and brands seems to be becoming a lot more popular lately. There was like Kith, I believe, is a streetwear brand that teamed up with Cap'n Crunch. And likewise, you've seen musical artists like Travis Scott and Lil Yachty get their own Reese's Puffs boxes. So I think this is just another attempt to sort of get in on this really, really hyper collectability aspect of cereal, which kind of all falls apart when you realize that they're just sort of selling these in the cereal aisle next to every other box of cereal. And yet, if you look today at your local Facebook marketplace for Reese's Puffs, you're going to find two or more dozen people still selling two or more dozen boxes of Travis Scott Reese's Puffs, trying to sell them for like $20 a pop. So I think this is a very, very weird corner of cereal cross-branding that I don't know if I'm all that into it personally, but as just sort of this weird mutant evolving phenomenon, I find it interesting to watch.
Yeah, I'm just in it for the cereal. You know, I don't eat a bunch. I've never cared about box variants. I don't look at the cereal boxes while I'm eating them. I'm a man, so I have all kinds of great different... I'm an adult man who has all kinds of great different things to look at.
Like what?
Like screens, I mean, for starters.
Yeah, my children. Those are good.
Now, and more exciting news and more consumable, I would say, pink lemonade Pop-Tarts making a comeback.
So this was probably one of the last limited edition Pop-Tarts flavors that I ever thought would make a comeback. It was way back in 2016 that Pink Lemonade Pop-Tarts first came out. And I'm not saying that they're bad. I actually thought they were really good because I like sweet lemon flavor. I like lemon bars and lemon pound cake and things like that. I especially liked about Pink Lemonade Pop-Tarts how good the box art was and the actual pastry design. It was this super, super vivid, hyper-saturated box with flamingos all over it, and the actual Pop-Tarts themselves were hot pink frosted with sprinkles, and it had a bit of a sour bite to it. And it was because these Pop-Tarts were so obscure that I never thought we would hear about them again. But they have been rebranded as Lemon Groove Pop-Tarts and are now back with, sadly, a much less cool design, I would say. Maybe more cool literally, in that it feels a lot more frigid in the design. It's just sort of like washed out tie-dye. And instead of actually having the pink frosting, they're doing this printed fun approach again, where they're putting these sort of pink and yellow gradient lemons dressed up to look like musicians on every pastry. I don't know. I'm not really big into the printed fun Pop-Tarts personally.
Similar here.
It almost just makes me think of like the paper towels with fun designs on them, and that kind of ruins my appetite a little bit.
This, you know, one of the ways I like to think about our show is that it's about the future and the present and the past. That's sort of future looking, what's coming up. But what's on shelves right now that you've been enjoying since our last episode, Dan?
So the latest thing that I tried was new cinnamon roll frosted mini wheats. This is an entirely new concept. There have been cinnamon roll frosted mini wheats little bites before, which already sets a pretty dangerous precedent, because I don't know, have you had any of the little bites variants of frosted mini wheats before?
I don't know if I have or not. No, I don't think so.
They don't come around very often, but I think the most common one would be the chocolatey little bites, and those are probably my favorite frosted mini wheat ever, just because they actually, you know, thoroughly flavor the thatched wheat itself. And sort of having that smaller, cubular density to it makes the frosting shine through a lot more brightly. But that's beside the point, because these are full-sized frosted mini wheats, the cinnamon roll variety. And I guess to describe the flavor of these, I would say, picture a cinnamon-flavored frosted mini wheat.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, great.
Not a whole lot to say about these. It's like, it's very, very straightforward. It's exactly what you would expect, because frosted mini wheats as a whole, they tend to be much more subtly flavored, because you're getting like 80% toasted wheat flavor and only 20% of the sweet dusting on top. And because you have less of that sort of mouthful real estate to capitalize on, there's a lot less depth to the cinnamon that we're getting here. There are a lot of new cinnamon cereals that come out all the time. Each of them try to put their own nuanced spin on like a cinnamon toast crunch formula. And the way it comes across here is just cinnamon sugar atop lots and lots of actual wheat. And I think this works a lot better in milk, where the flavors can sort of meld together and you can, as always, soften that wheatiness and make it more of just this swollen milk pillow. But as for me personally, I think if I were going to get a frosted mini wheat, I would tend to look for something a little bit more nuanced, like the maple brown sugar one.
Now, that sounds at least a little bit intriguing, but speaking of a lack of nuance, I hear that this next cereal really takes the cake, as it were.
It's really sad, too, because this is Dunkaroos cereal, and anyone who knows a thing or two about Dunkaroos knows that it is a nostalgic juggernaut. These things were around from 1990 to 2012 was when they were officially discontinued for the first time. These sort of little pouches of cookies and frosting that you could dunk and then sort of aru it into your mouth, I believe is the proper nomenclature. But the problem with Dunkaroos and translating that to a cereal is that Dunkaroos are so good because you're getting this literal actual frosting, and it's just this compact bit of decadence. And that's something that's really hard to translate to an entire cereal, you know?
Yeah, a lot of times you see milk brought in to do the share of the creaminess, like when you have a frosting element, the sort of like powder from the cereal mixing with milk to give you a little bit of a frosting-ish vibe.
But the problem is there's not any powder here to speak of. These are basically Cookie Crisp pieces, and if you're familiar with the Holiday Sprinkles Cookie Crisp or the Funfetti cereal that came out recently, that one I believe was actually a puff, sorry, but it's just this very, very shallow vanilla and sugar flavor that if you're trying to eat cereal, why not go for like one or two levels of flavor rather than like a solid like half of something that's kind of already just you know, sugar redefined. So I got the chance to try like the rebooted Dunkaroos as well as this like Dunkaroos yogurt they're doing, and I believe there's Dunkaroos cookie dough and all kinds of other cross-branded opportunities like that, and they're pretty good. I like it when you can get the full spectrum of frostedness, but the cereal is a bit too much of a letdown.
I am so looking forward to hearing. I've tried this next cereal, and I'm very eager to hear what you think about Pokemon cereal.
Do you want me to say what I thought first, or you?
Oh, yeah. I've mentioned what I thought, I think, but I'm eager to get your thoughts.
So I went in this one not expecting to like it very much, just because the original Pokemon cereal that came out in the year 2000 is one of my all-time favorites, just because, well, on its surface, it's just like a Lucky Charms clone, a very serviceable Lucky Charms clone that was just flanked by incredible holographic embossed artwork. You had these adorable pastel marshmallows of Pikachu, Ditto, Oddish, Poliwhirl, and they had amazing like bowl pal toys as well that you could clip to your cereal bowl while you eat. So that set a very, very strong precedent for what a Pokemon cereal could be, and I think the fact that it took 2 decades before we got another one based on this incredibly popular franchise was really a testament to you know, how high the expectations were and how high my own expectations were going in. But I'm surprised. This one's called Berry Bolt, and I actually sort of liked it.
Yeah, that's about where I checked out.
Sort of liked it. It tastes a lot like Trix. It's got that sort of sweet citrus twist to it. Of course, with marshmallows as well that only come in Pikachu heads and Thunderbolts, which is sad compared to the original. But what really interested me, I don't know if I was like imagining it, but every time I took a spoonful or like a handful of it, there was a little jolt of like sourness at the beginning that made me think, man, mm-hmm. This just got that electric type beat to it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It woke up the palate a little bit, had a nice little zing, it wasn't as sort of assertive as you might like, but it's nice.
Yeah.
Perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, there was a bit of...
In a world of actively bad licensed cereal, it is perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, in a world of Dunkaroos, this one is a dunk above.
And what is Three Wishes Fruity Cereal, Dan?
So we've talked about Three Wishes Cereal on this podcast before, I believe. This is one of those sort of more, I think it's like a higher protein, gluten and grain-free type cereal along the same...
Yeah, usually lower on the sugar.
Yeah, along the same lines of your Magic Spoons, your Cereal School, and those sorts of things that are marketed more as like an adult cereal. And while they tend to be less fun to eat or talk about, I feel like shedding some perspective on what the better ones of the genre are is something good to talk about. And I have said before that I think Three Wishes tends to get it right more often than most of these types of cereal. They use chickpeas as their base grain, and you'd think that would shine through really negatively as this beany element, but I think it's a much more neutral base than some of the like navy beans and like tapioca flour that you see in some of their competitors. And this one specifically, the fruity variety, is new, and I was especially hesitant here because when it comes to these adult-oriented cereals, something like a chocolate or a cinnamon is a lot easier to just use a bunch of flavoring to mask what might not be the best base grain. But in this case, the fruity is a lot harder to get past that, because fruit and corn, whether it's corn or beans or anything else, aren't as much of a natural interplay, I guess. But This one comes close. It comes very close. It's, again, got that distinctly Trixian palate to it. You still get a bit of this weird aftertaste to it. But, again, if you're looking for something like this, if you're looking to suit your particular appetite needs and you want a more grown-up version of a fruity cereal, this is the best one that I've tried thus far.
I will, as long as we're here, because I've been eating it a lot lately, a hearty recommendation of the peanut butter flavor of Cereal School. Their peanut butter is quite good. And it comes in these little bags. That's great for like late night. Just want to eat a little cereal. It's good stuff. Speaking of, I had a couple quick hits. I'm no expert like Dan, but I wanted to give a couple quick hits to cereals I tried this week that are new.
Please.
First up is Lucky Charms that turn your milk green. And here's the review on these. It's Lucky Charms that turn your milk
okay.
green.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
It does what it says on the tin. So, if you want to do that, it's available to you now. The other one I tried was Sesame Street.
Okay.
Sesame Street 123 Berry.
Gotcha.
Is the flavor that I tried. And quick pros and cons. One, pro, all the pieces are numbers, which I like. It turns mealtime into an activity. Can you make fun numbers? Sure, it's not the fun of letters, arranging those in different orders, but, you know, it's fine. Cons, the flavor of it. 123 Berry cereal is like, if you imagine, like, it's like the feeling of eating it is like trying to remember someone's name, and it's on the tip of your tongue and you can almost get it, but it's not quite there, except for the flavor of berries. It's like so faintly berry flavored that it's almost like, is this in my perception or is there an actual berry flavor here? That I am ingesting. It is that faint of a berry flavor. I've never tasted anything quite like it.
So it's like a LaCroix crunch, essentially.
That's a very good comparison. I think I've read before somewhere that like the perfect martini is a glass of gin with a bottle of vermouth waved around the outside of it. And that is kind of what this is, but with berry flavor.
Yes.
It is uncanny.
The Sesame Street martini of cereals.
Not a huge recommendation here. It may be, I don't know, they may have lowered the sugar or something to make it more appealing to young growing bodies. But
yeah, I have the other Sesame Street cereal on my counter still unopened. That is the one that is shaped like letters. The C is for cinnamon cereal. So you very, very astutely lowered my expectations even further than they were, which is now putting them at a subterranean level.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts when you do get around to it. We asked you all for ways that you could spike cereal with syrups. It's a very specific query, but as always, you rose to the challenge. Here's what you had to say.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Charlie from Texas. And my ideal flavored syrup and cereal pairing would be Retro Recipe Golden Grahams with bergamot syrup. One of my favorite things in this world is a cup of strongly bergamot-scented Earl Grey tea with a hearty spoonful of honey. So I think the inclusion of honey in these revamped Golden Grahams would really complement the floral citrusness of bergamot in a soothing and wholesome way. I'm also always craving more citrus in cereal, so that would scratch that itch in the meantime. Thanks for all that y'all do.
Hey, Dan and Justin. Thanks for your podcast. I really appreciate listening to it. You had asked what we would put in our cereal to sort of spike it, and I would put elderberry syrup or elderflower. You don't see that flavor with cereals much, but it's a very delightful flavor that's also good for you. Thanks.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Cole, a non-binary new fan of your show in Michigan. And if I could spike my cereal with anything, it would be sweet red beans. While it is not typically found in syrup form, the sweet paste could mix into the vanilla, soy milk, and be combined with either Golden Grahams or Simply Granola cereal, and it would make for a delightful treat. I honestly don't know anything about cereal, but I do know that I like sweet red beans. It seems like a match made in heaven. Thank you for your consideration.
I love that strength of conviction. I don't know about cereal, but I know I like sweet red beans. So let's give it a whirl.
I wonder if they've called into like a number of podcasts just to recommend mixing sweet red beans into whatever it is they're talking about.
Hi, burrito boys. Have you considered adding sweet red beans? This Burrito Boys is a burrito podcast. I just invented. I love those. I love this idea of like a floral or herbal vibe in cereal, especially with like a graham base.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one that like nobody has really, it sounds very adult. It's one I'd love to see somebody experiment with.
Well, there you go. Cereal school. Next lesson.
The class is in session. Dan, all this says here on the rundown, the cereal myths, Garfield cereal. I love this one. Please enlighten me. I'm going to get relaxed.
Oh, man. So this is a lot to take in just because, first of all, cereal myths is like my favorite segment that we've done just because I'm a big fan of any sort of lost media and things that have been more or less lost to history. And at the same time, I'm also a huge Garfield fan. I mean, I grew up getting the comics from the library. I would insist on watching Garfield and Friends instead of getting ready for school. And to this day, I just love that Garfield, who was essentially created as a vehicle for merchandise, has become this trans-dimensional meme character on the internet with infinite versatility for, you know, getting your yucks in. But somehow, I did not know that there was a Garfield cereal, or an alleged Garfield cereal, at least, that was supposed to maybe come out in 1985. Let me roll it back a little bit. The only evidence we have of this Garfield cereal is a coupon from this blogger named Waffle Whiffer, and they posted about this back in 2009. They were documenting different cereal premiums that they had, and they found this Garfield sticker pack that was still sealed, and sealed in with the Garfield stickers was this really, really beautiful coupon for 20 cents off a new Quaker Garfield cereal that came in both raspberry and blueberry flavorings. And we'll definitely post a picture of this coupon on our Twitter just because it has these glorious sort of purple and orange hues to it. But the fact that this is all that we know about this Garfield cereal really just is maddening but beautiful at the same time, because you look at this Garfield cereal box. Maybe I should send you a picture of this really quick just so you know what I'm talking about.
I'm looking. I did a search.
Yeah, I mean, there's no others to really confuse you. So if you look at the actual box art, it doesn't necessarily look like a finished cereal. It looks like something from the Garfield comic that they made up to give Garfield his own cereal. You just see him sort of happily digging into this nondescript bowl of oats and saying real fruit in every bite. So
it looks like clip art of cereal and also somehow of Garfield.
Yeah, like this is an alternate close parallel universe Garfield, and the coupon sort of bled in through the dimensional folds into our world, because Waffle Whiffer was not familiar with this cereal. As far as I can see, none of our world's Garfield academics can remember this as well. So the general consensus then is that this was either a test market cereal or one that was scrapped before it actually hit the world. Because if you look up Garfield cereals, the only ones that actually tangibly existed were these three Garfield cereals in Mexico that came in vanilla, chocolate, and fruity flavors, but they were pretty uninspired and basically just looked like generic cereal that had Garfield on the box, as opposed to this generic cereal that just happened to have Garfield on the box on a coupon. But I don't know, something about this purple and orange hue and the fact that any knowledge of this Garfield cereal has been lost to time is probably going to be rolling around in the back of my brain for the next 10 or 20 years or so until someone, anyone out there maybe listening now, can solve this mystery.
Yeah, I would love, man, this, it sounds good. Anytime there's a fruity flavor lost to history, I always wonder if it tasted like Smurf Berry Crunch, which is my white whale that I'll never enjoy again. But this does not look like a real cereal. I do not believe this may have been sold, but not in wide circulation, I wouldn't think. There's very little evidence of its existence, which seems weird. Garfield's a massive character, right?
Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just a matter of not getting the flavor right, or I don't know. Maybe Garfield's not up by breakfast time.
Excellent. Well, Dan, we've come to the end of another program. I would like to put a call out for requests for feedback from our listeners. If we'd love to hear from you via our voicemail line. You can go to bold.rest, and there's a little button. Let's see, leave us a message. If you want to plug in a microphone to your computer, that's great. You can use your phone. It's all good. The question I would like to talk about is this. And we've talked about pastries before, but I would like to open it up to all food items. One of my favorite subgenres of food or of cereal is real existing food items that have been shrunk down somehow to cereal size. French Toast Crunch is maybe the best example. I can't believe they've done it. They made little slices of French toast into cereal. What food item would you like to see in a miniaturized cereal version? Not like a thematic element, but like you're going to get tiny pieces of this thing and a bowl of it with milk. That is what I would love to hear from people about. And bold.rest is the address to do that. That's also where you can go to support our program and pledge anywhere from 99 cents up to 10 bucks to help keep the show going. That's a monthly donation. Half of that goes to keep seriously.net going. Half of that goes to a local shelter for people experiencing homelessness in our area. So we really appreciate any support you can lend us there.
Yeah, and don't answer with a Garfield lasagna cereal, because that's my answer. We'd also like to thank Chris Zabriskie for his opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for doing our lovely podcast artwork.
That's going to do it for us for this week, folks. Be sure to join us again next time for The Empty Bowl. Until then, for Dan Gebert, I'm Justin McElroy. And as always,
don't forget to drink the milk.
Yours is good. It's fine.
Yeah, I like it that way. I like it.